Our text for this Christmas Eve is from Luke chapter 2. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Christmas is a time of doing. It's a time of doing, isn't it? I mean, how many of us awoke this morning with a long list of things to do today, in order for Christmas to occur tonight and tomorrow? Such a list usually includes cleaning, cooking, wrapping, packing, mailing, washing, ironing, and trying not to forget anything. And sometimes that's the worst part of it, trying not to forget. Now, if you have children, such a to-do list, it's even longer, isn't it? For each of the children present their own challenges, don't they? That is, with shoes and socks and pants and shirts and dresses and skirts and scarves and hats and mittens. And that's before you've gone anywhere. Well, then there's church. That's where you are right now. Just a reminder. That presents its own particular challenges. Into the car with the kids. Buckle up. Drive. Unbuckle. Out of the car. Into the building. Coats off. Bathroom. Pew. Bathroom. Pew. Trip to the narthex. Pew. Then coats and boots, hats and gloves. Out to the car. Buckle in. Travel. Unbuckle. Maybe church is not that bad as far as the doing is concerned. Maybe the challenge will be after church at a relative's with a house no longer childproofed, or tomorrow. How is it you're supposed to cook a couple of side dishes, package them up so they don't spill, transport them and an assortment of gifts and the rest of the family to a relative's all in one piece? How? I'm sorry. Still with me? Set that list aside in your head. Leave it at least until the end of the service. The point is, Christmas can be and often is all about doing the things we need to do, the things we need to accomplish. And once we've accomplished everything, Christmas has been celebrated. Celebrated with such doing without a second thought. That is a thought. The thought that perhaps Christmas should be something a bit more, even a bit other than just doing. But how can such a thing be done? See what I did there? How can we have a Christmas that is not simply doing? Well, try this over the next few days take a moment. And look at your Christmas tree. Yes, look at your Christmas tree there in your house. Now, if your Christmas tree is anything like our Christmas tree, you will notice that it is covered with history. Covered with your family history. Covered with all the things, or a lot of the things that have happened in your life. And here I'm talking about the ornaments. The ornaments hanging there on the tree. Each one could, in fact, be a souvenir. Now, what's a souvenir? Well, the word souvenir, it's French. It means simply to remember. That's what souvenir means. We buy souvenirs to remember usually our travels, but so many of the ornaments on our trees, on our Christmas trees, are simply souvenirs, aren't they? Causing us to remember all the things that have happened in our lives. So sometime over the next couple of days, take a look at the ornaments, the souvenirs on your Christmas tree in your home, and think about what they represent. Now, I know personally that can be kind of difficult. And difficult not because the ornaments bring up bad memories, but they bring up good memories. When our children were younger and made us ornaments for Christmas, or bought us their parents' ornaments, And ornaments, they can remind us of weddings and births and special places we've lived. And ornaments can take us back, Christmas ornaments can take us back to our childhood. Perhaps you have on your Christmas tree an ornament that you have seen on your Christmas tree every year since you were a small child. All these years, your mom kept it, and then she gave it to you, and then you've kept it, and every year you take it out and you hang it on the tree, reminding you of the Christmases that you experienced as a child. So sometime over the next few days, take a moment or two and look at your ornaments, your Christmas souvenirs, and think about them and ponder them. Ponder them. For pondering is actually a huge part of Christmas. You see, pondering is what Mary did. Mary did there in the stable on that first Christmas. No, Mary didn't have a Christmas tree full of ornaments to ponder, but Mary did have all of the things that the shepherds said to her about an angel and an angel choir and what the angel and the angel choir had said and sung. Mary also had the visit of the angel Gabriel to her and his words to her to think about, to ponder. Mary had her miraculous conception, the words of Elizabeth to her about Jesus, the child in her womb. Mary had that to ponder. Mary also had the actions of Joseph, his not putting her away, but his taking her on, even though she was pregnant, and making sure that she got to Bethlehem for the taxation. Yes, on that first Christmas Eve, Mary had much to ponder. The Greek text, the original, tells us that she took all of those things, and it literally says she gathered them together. She gathered them together, almost like ornaments on a Christmas tree. And having gathered all of the events around the birth of Jesus together in her heart and in her mind and in her soul, she thought about them. She thought about them. She pondered them. And that is what we do on Christmas. That is to celebrate Christmas. Yes, to celebrate Christmas, Christians ponder Christmas. As we think about it, all the things that happened around the very birth of Jesus, and doing so, we once again in humble awe give thanks to our Father in heaven for the wonder wrought in that small town outside of Jerusalem so long ago. Why would God do that? Why would God not only become man, but become the most fragile, the most dependent, the most needy of all human beings? And that is a tiny little baby. A tiny little baby who could not live if not for the care and nurture and protection of that baby's parents. In other words, God became a human being that had to be loved. That had to be loved or he would die. Why? Why did God do that? Well, God wants to be loved. God wants to be loved by us. And so by becoming a tiny little baby, God was presenting himself to us in a way that we could love him and would love him. I mean, if God would have come to us on Christmas in thunder and lightning like he did on Mount Sinai, we wouldn't be celebrating by pondering that appearance, and we don't. We don't have a holiday for the appearance of God on Mount Sinai in such a fashion. Why? Too frightening, too scary, too intimidating, but not so a baby. God became a little baby to be loved, to show us that he wanted to be loved by us. And in return, in growing into a man, God showed us that he wants to love us. And Jesus did that by making the blind see, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the lame walk, and even the dead alive. And then God showed us how much he loved us by dying for us, dying on the cross for us, so that believing in him, our sins will be forgiven, and we can live with him forever. In this is love, we read in 1 John. In this is love, not that we've loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And again, also in 1 John, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Now, That's a lot to ponder. To gather together in our minds like ornaments on a tree and think about. But that's what we do as Christians on Christmas. We ponder how much God loves us. We ponder how he became a baby who needed to be loved by us to show us, if anything, that he wanted to be loved. I mean, think about it. Think anybody in heaven raised any doubts about Mary that she would not be the right mother for Jesus? Think anybody asked that question? No. The fact that God would so entrust himself to man in such a way is truly amazing. It's too amazing to fathom, but he did so that we would love him. And then he showed his love for us in his life, death, and resurrection. And now he continues to show his love for us by sending his Spirit into our hearts. That's what he does. Now, how does he do that? How does God send his Spirit into our hearts? He does that when we ponder. When we ponder what he has done for us. When we ponder the words he has spoken to us. That's how he sends his Spirit to us. I mean, we don't need to climb a mountain to receive the Holy Spirit of God. We don't need to go on a pilgrimage. We don't need to learn an undecipherable language or spend years starving and contorting our bodies. All that we need to do is to know that we are loved by God and that he wants us to love him too. All we need to do to know that is to ponder. To ponder what Mary pondered on that first Christmas. The words spoken to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Like I said, I can have a hard time sometimes looking at the ornaments on our tree at home. Why? Well, they remind me of a past that I'll never experience again. I mean, our children, they were really cute. And the presents they received at Christmas, they were fun to play with. And it was wonderful to see their joy when they opened them. That's the past. That's the past. They're grown. That's hard to ponder. But what is not hard to ponder is the baby in the manger, in the stable, in Bethlehem. For such pondering really is not about the past, but it's about the present. That we now, through Christ, have peace with God. And about the future. That in Christ we'll live forever in joy and peace and love. The love of God with which he loves us in that with which we loved him. That's something truly to ponder on this Christmas. Amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The offering is now received.